to the word that I felt to share with you as my church family. I'm going to try not to like be weepy through this, but I've been so impacted just by what God is doing. And I want to encourage you that he's moving through you and on your behalf. And so I actually felt to share a story from 18 years ago. I don't know who was a part of this church 18 years ago. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, okay, so good. You guys changed my life. God reminded me of a story from Christmas of 2001 where my family was struggling and was new to town, and nobody knew our struggle. I had my mom share me the story. I was like, tell me exactly what happened. I need to know the story. Because I was just little. I was like 7. And I was just like having fun in the back, like literally right over there. And we just came to church, and I didn't really know what was going on. But my mom told me this story that they had just moved because of the call of God. God spoke, leave your family, leave everything behind, come and follow me. And so like, I mean, I see it as like an Abraham, like, okay, I'm following you. My parents left everything and left their family, left their passion, left everything they had known to follow the call of God to come to a tiny town in Colorado with nothing. And so my parents, okay, full of courage and faith, came to this city, to this town, and started walking in obedience, but had nothing. And my mom, from how she shares it, they didn't really share with other people their struggle. They were just in faith that God would provide. And so Pastor Al, who was the pastor at that time, was good friends with my dad, invited them to come to a service around Christmas time. And my dad was like, okay, we've got 7 kids. It's kind of hard to like, okay, let's get everyone there. But my dad felt to go, and so he went. We were sitting in the back, and they start to share that as a body, I think it was even a church body, like in Pagosa, they once a year give, and the idea is they have a family that they feel to give to. And so they asked the Holy Spirit, this is my assumption, that you would ask the Lord, what family in town do we give this money to? And they wait, and they get the word, and then they give to the family. And the family doesn't know. It's just like a surprise. So we didn't know, as you're probably guessing, that family that year was us. And that is so amazing to me because the Holy Spirit is working on our behalf and speaking to a group of people who don't know us, and then all of our needs are provided for. And so I remember my mom being like, you know what, guys, we're going to do like Christmas and Easter together. It's going to be this fun thing, and we're going to just, you know, we're just going to do something different this year. And so we're like, okay, cool. But what you didn't know as a body was that we needed bills paid for. My parents wanted to do Christmas for us, and they were in a need of trusting God when the church family came together and worked on behalf, followed in obedience to the voice of God, and gave to a family. And I was just so impacted by that because the investment through generosity has not only touched one family, it's touched the nations. I don't know if you know much about my family, but multiple of us have gone into missions. We love the Lord. We love reaching people with the truth of who God is. And that started, of course, with my parents, but it was enabled through generosity. And so I felt to encourage you, that's your inheritance. And a few weeks ago, when I was still in Paris, we had a morning of prayer. So we have prayer for our property at 8 a.m. We all come early and intercede for, okay, God, we need a miracle. So we're praying, and we felt God say, okay, give thanks. Give thanks for what you already have. Like, cool, I have this 10 euros. Thank you, God, for this 10 euros. Or, yeah, whatever, like, thank you for this thing. And that same idea of genuinely giving thanks. And God reminded me of this story. Remember when I spoke on your behalf to strangers who stood in the gap for you and provided in the time of need. When I called your family away, I never forsook you. I never left you in need. And I just started weeping. My friends were like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I'm just so moved by how God cares and how God moves through simple acts of obedience. And so at that moment, when I was reminded of this story, I was amazed at, again, I mean, it happens often, but just amazed at this body, amazed at this family that God has brought together. And I wanted to remind you of your inheritance. And so people who were here 18 years ago, bless you. You changed my family's entire year. You changed my life because of that gift. And my parents were able, okay, now we can pay for bills. Now we can stay. Now we can impart truth into our kids that we're staying, that God has spoken, and we will not be moved. That's my family's legacy. I'm so blessed by the incredible decisions from my parents that they listened to the word of God and they stuck with it through everything. And as well to you guys, that you listened to the word of God and even without understanding, obeyed and gave to a family that you barely knew. And so I felt this morning to encourage you from Galatians 6, which says in verse 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." And so that even that whole little section in Galatians 6, like 7 through 10, talks about sowing and reaping. And so to encourage you, of course, we're not always going to see everything we sow into, but you guys have sown into the nations, and you're going to see the harvest of that, you know, sending out, my brother was telling me, like, over 60 missionaries, or even more, I would say even more maybe, have been sent out from this church, 60 maybe into YWAM. 60 people have been sent through this church, at least, and gone through a missions program with YWAM, and have gone and reached probably 3 or 4 nations of that, and you're like doing the math of how many nations have been reached from this one church. It's incredible. And I felt like God was saying this morning to encourage you that just if you can't see it now doesn't mean that things aren't already happening. Because like you know, you probably didn't know at that point 18 years ago that a family was struggling, but through your obedience, God is sowing in spiritual goodness, right? And you're going to reap that as well. And so as I was praying for you, that came so clearly. Do not grow weary in doing good. Lift up your head. Renew your hope. And we've had that the last few weeks. God, I think, is being really clear with us as a body. From Bill 2 weeks ago, I don't know if most of you were here, but that was his whole message, was renew hope. And he gave us 3 steps, how to renew hope, how to fix our eyes on Jesus again. And even BJ gave a word. I made a note. I was like taking all these notes. BJ gave a word. Where is it? I have it. No. About, oh my gosh, I have all these notes and I wrote it down. Hold on, I'm going to find it. Yeah, okay, so we had Bill's word 2 weeks ago about renewing hope. That morning, BJ gave a word about being where you are and loving the season. And then last week, we had Steve about knowing purpose, knowing God, knowing purpose. And Neil, rise up and pray. And I felt like all these words were kind of coming together with what I felt like God said to share about not giving up. And even in this sense of probably it's a season of stretching and of growing. And I just felt to encourage you, don't give up. Keep persevering. Don't try to just move on to the next season and kind of like get past like the refining. But it's actually really important that you go through the fire and that you're refined, because it will continue to produce character and produce hope inside of your heart. And so I just felt to encourage you guys as a body that's so important to really love where God has you. And so there's the three points that I kind of had this morning to share. It's a really big thing right now with Darlene Cunningham. She's one of our founders for YWAM. And she always says, listen, obey, and don't give up. Have an I won't quit spirit. You know, God spoke, okay, live in Pagosa, leave everything behind. So, okay, we don't know how we're going to do this, but I won't quit. I'm going to hold on to the word of God. I'm going to listen, obey, and never give up. And so that's what I felt to encourage you guys, to lift your heads and to recognize actually your inheritance in the nations, that you have invested as a body into the nations, and God is breathing life onto that. That's not to say that we're going to see the entire world come to Jesus, which would be amazing. But if it means that one person or 2 people or 3 people are impacted to know Jesus through your generosity, it's worth it. You know what I mean? Like one person who ends up being like, you know, like Darlene and Lauren Cunningham, who created a whole mission based on the word of the Lord. It's incredible. And so I wanted to encourage you that sometimes obedience can feel foolish. It doesn't really make sense. Someone was sharing a story last week of like calling Steve, the guest speaker from last week, calling him, be like, hey, look out for deer. And he waited. It doesn't really make sense. So I don't really do it. I don't know. And then it comes to find out that Steve hit a deer. And everything was fine. But this idea that sometimes it feels foolish to listen to the word of God. Sometimes it's like, is that just me? Like, I don't really know. It doesn't really make sense. But in 1 Corinthians 18, you can even get 18, 19, and 27. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved by its power, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. But God has chosen foolish things of the world. This is verse 27. God has chosen foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put shame the things which are mighty. And I really loved that verse because sometimes it seems foolish to walk in obedience with Jesus. Sometimes it feels foolish when you're like, okay, God, I don't know maybe how to hear you fully, or I don't know if this is really you speaking, but I'm going to take a step of faith and believe that what you're speaking is right. I don't know if this was me for sure in 2013. I don't know if I should go to a surfing and snowboarding DTS, even though I don't surf or snowboard and I'm the most like anti-athletic person ever. Like I have no balance and I'm just, no, it's just not my thing. But I had to believe in faith that that's what God was asking me to do. And I stepped out and it transformed my life. My entire perspective was changed. My passion changed. My self-worth, my understanding of God fully changed after I stepped out in obedience. And often that's what happens. God speaks, we obey, and then understanding comes. Because if we had full understanding before, we would actually miss out on the gift of faith. And so if you're in that area right now where God is speaking and stirring your heart, like, okay, I want you to close your business and move to a new town, or okay, I want you to step out and start this new ministry, or hey, it's okay, you can do it. Reconnect with your parents or build new relationship. I want to encourage you that maybe it won't fully make sense, but as you step out and depend on the word of God, depend on the presence and the spirit of God, he will begin to move and work in your life in ways that you would have never seen happen before. And that's even in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And then in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so what's, in my opinion, knowledge of the Holy One? It's spending time with the Lord and getting to know him. You could read all the books and do all of the studies and still never know the heart of God if you're not willing to step out in faith and take a risk to listen and obey. And then understanding will come, and then revelation, and then transformation. But it starts with risk. It starts with surrendering your own opinion, surrendering your fear, surrendering your pride, and being like, well, this is how I want to do it. And Jesus is like, well, what if we do it this way instead? You know, his way, I promise you, is always better. His way is always better. If it had been up to us on where we would live, we would have lived literally on the opposite side of the city, in the north, where it's quite put together. We didn't really know much about the city when we moved there, and when we originally moved there, we lived in a very tiny, quiet neighborhood where it's like, you know, like families with young kids, and they have their schedule and their routine, so you never see anyone on the streets. And we're like, yeah, this is Paris. So good. And then God's like, actually, no, I have something else for you. Move to Aubervilliers. And so we go and check out Aubervilliers, and it is chaos. I don't think there's a better word to describe my neighborhood, but chaos. Like, trash cans are on fire sometimes, and, like, riots happen sometimes on the streets, and, like, people, I mean, it's, are yelling, and it's very just chaos, and at the same time, so beautiful. You see, like, women helping each other out and taking their kids to school and communities being built and people coming together, and we just had no idea, but it took stepping out in faith in order to see the treasure, to see the fullness of what God had for us. And within that, my encouragement to you is to persevere in the season that you're in right now, in maybe not having the fullness of the renewing of hope, or maybe not fully knowing the purpose, like what we've talked about the last 2 weeks, but especially like what Vijay said 2 weeks ago, be where God has you, be where you are, and persevere. This too has come to pass, right? You're not going to stay here forever. And I think for me, the most practical thing in persevering and renewing hope is knowing the presence of God, is knowing the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think that's the hardest part for people is, okay, how do I know the invisible God, the one who created everything? When he speaks, the earth shakes and the sky thunders. Like, how do I know the still small voice of the Lord? I think that can be the hardest question, the hardest thing for people. And so I wrote down a few things that are helpful for me in getting into the presence of the Lord. Sometimes it can be worship music. Sometimes it can just be being quiet. But coming with an attitude of thanksgiving, I think, is the first thing I would say. If you are struggling and it's like, I really need to persevere. I really need help. I really need hope. I need something to renew me. I would say first, get into an attitude of thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for the sun outside, and thank you for the wind, even though it can be a little cold. Like, I'm sure it's got a benefit somewhere, you know? And like, you start looking for the things that you're grateful for. Thank you, Jesus, for my partner in life, even if they sometimes frustrate me. Or thank you, Jesus, for my kids. What a miracle, my children. Thank you for the 10 euros that I have in my pocket today and that I'm able to have a meal with my family. Things that sometimes we take for granted, we have to start shifting our perspective into an attitude of thanksgiving. And from there, we can quiet our thoughts. And if we need to repent, like if God's like, hey, remember how you got angry at your kid for something and you responded wrongly? Go and ask for forgiveness. You're like, my kid? Like, he deserved it, right? Like, yeah, what? I needed to discipline him. But God's like, yeah, no, but you didn't represent my character. Go and ask for forgiveness for not representing patience or representing the goodness of God. We can still discipline and do it in the character of God, right? Representing who he is. So you go to your kid and you're like, hey, I'm sorry that I lashed out and I didn't represent the character of God. Would you forgive me? That is so powerful. Parents representing the character of God. And children as well. I love that today we have kids in the audience. We can do that too. We can go to our parents and be like, hey, mom, sorry that I missed it. Sorry that I didn't obey the first time. And we can restore relationship with one another because that is the kingdom of God. Restoration in relationships, walking in holiness and righteousness with one another. Because it's not just about this. It's not just about knowing God and him knowing me, but it's knowing God and knowing others and representing Jesus in this way, right? Like, I love that we have the picture of the cross in everything that we do. Restoration in relationships is the purpose of Jesus coming onto this earth. And he's asking us to walk that through in our lives every day. And so that's one way that we can begin to move our hearts into the presence of God, is right relationship with one another. And from there, you know, we quiet our minds, submit the things that are hard, like, okay, I'm really struggling financially and I'm worried and I'm anxious. Jesus, I give it to you. And I actually do this often, where I'm in my room and I'm having time with God and I walk through these steps. Jesus, I thank you. And okay, do I need to make anything right with anyone? Show me. And I just wait for a minute, and I'm asking him to show me, trusting that he will, right? Because he has promised to us that he will never leave or forsake us. And why would a good dad not respond to his kid when his kid's talking to him, right? Like, I know so many good fathers in the audience right now, and I would guarantee you every single one of them would say, yeah, when my child comes and's like, hey, dad, is there something else I can do to help, or is there something I need to know? A father would respond, right? I'm pretty sure dads in the audience, would you respond to your child if they were asking for help? Yeah, like, yes, you would do that right away, right? You wouldn't just be like, you know what, maybe tomorrow we'll figure out this problem. Like, no, right away. You'd be like, yes, I'm here. Let's do it. What do you need? I'm so for you. That's our Father in heaven. And if that's something that you don't know, I really plead with you, get to know him. Get to know his presence. Get into there with your headphones in your room by yourself, saying, Jesus, I want to meet you. Renew my hope. Give me perseverance. Lead my heart into truth because I need you. And as we give thanksgiving, repent where we need to, quiet our thoughts, give him our anxieties, he will, you know, like our hearts begin to soften to hearing the still small voice of God. But it requires us taking a moment and saying nothing else matters right now except for the presence of God. And that we need to do every day, I think. Every morning, I do it every morning where I'm like, Jesus, I need you today. I needed you yesterday, and I need you more today, and I'll need him even more tomorrow. And so the last little steps that I do is if I'm feeling distracted or it's a struggle, I actually take authority in the name of Jesus, and I rebuke the enemy. I'm like, okay, enemy, if you're trying to distract me, you know, like in the name of Jesus, no. He's given us authority over heaven and earth. So we take authority, we bind the enemy, and we say no. Not today, Satan. I don't know if you've seen those shirts or like the memes. It's a big thing right now. It's like, not today, Satan. But it's true. We have authority actually to take the in the name of Jesus to bind and break the schemes of the enemy in our life. And then we invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill. Okay, now I've just gotten all this stuff out. Now, Holy Spirit, come and fill. And I had a sense this morning that in that encouragement from Galatians to don't grow weary in doing good, that will only come from being filled by the Holy Spirit. We can't do it by ourselves. As much as we would like to, and as much as that would be really fun for our independence, yeah, and our pride, we cannot do it by ourselves. We will run dry. We will burn out. And so as we come to the Lord every morning, that would be my encouragement to you every morning, and asking God to fill us up, he's going to continue to renew your hope, give you perseverance in doing good. And okay, again, 70 times 70, I'm forgiving this person, or I'm helping my neighbor, or I'm doing these things, and God will give you the perseverance in doing that. Or okay, again, I'm struggling with depression today, I'm struggling with anxiety, I'm struggling with not knowing how to overcome my circumstances, God will give you perseverance in today. And what you need today, your fresh manna, like in Exodus, right? God gave them manna every day. And he said, don't save, this is crazy to me, don't keep the leftovers. Like that was my childhood, was like, keep the leftovers, we're gonna eat that tomorrow. But God was like, no, don't save your leftovers, throw it away. I will give you fresh manna tomorrow. That for us today should translate in our daily bread, our word every day. He'll give you a fresh word every single day, because a good father does not give a stone when his child asks for bread. That's in Matthew. Jesus is like, what are you talking about? You think my father will give you a stone when you ask for bread? No. He'll give you fresh bread every day, fresh words, fresh manna, fresh encouragement. He's like, yeah, I think you're the best and you're going to do amazing. And you're like, oh, me? And he's like, yes, you. And you're like, okay. And you go after it, right? With everything in you, all of your passion and encouragement that you just got from your heavenly father, you go and you go after the day and you teach kids, or you meet someone at a local shop, or you're helping someone with their order at a restaurant, you know, like every day, renewed hope and renewed passion, because your father loves you and he's giving you the ability to overcome. And so that's my encouragement to you this morning. And God gave me a song. I don't actually have, we're not going to play it, but I love this. It is not a Christian song. It's not on the Christian radio, so if you won't hear it. But it's called Fresh Eyes. And I love that. I was like, yeah, Jesus. It's like this, what would you call it? I guess maybe a secular song. And it's actually, I feel like, something that we almost sing to Jesus. I wrote down the lyrics because I thought they were really precious. Cute. You can say cute. I like them. But I felt like God said that this was part of the key, that his heart for you, like from Joel 2 to, in Joel 2, verses 21 through 29, we're not going to read those, but to summarize, it's first starts with, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's going to be okay. I'm going to pour out myself over you. I'm going to give you new wine. But to do that, I need new wineskins. So you got to get rid of the old, in with the new. I'm going to give you new wine. And then later it says, old men, you're going to have new dreams. Young man, I'm going to give you vision. Old women, you're going to have new dreams. Young women, I'm going to give you vision. Because a life without vision perishes. That's in Proverbs. If you don't have vision, you're going to perish. So young people, my encouragement to you, ask the Lord, what's my vision? What's my purpose? What am I working towards? And he's going to renew hope inside of you. And people who have been walking before us and an older generation, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your investment. I made a note here to specifically even thank the Thompsons, Angie Crow, Tammy Searle, people who invested in us. My brother with Ryan, with other ones, other youth that you know in this community, Thank you for your investment. You have changed our lives. You have impacted us in a way that we will never be able to repay and never forget. Thank you. And for people who don't know, they created opportunities for us to know God for like Signs and Wonders camp or youth group or being able to learn an instrument and lead people in worship. Thank you for your investment. That's not gone unnoticed. That's not gone missed. And so as we are giving of ourselves, we trust that God is going to give us new dreams. And that I was telling Adam this morning, youth with a mission is about your attitude, not about your age. Like you can be 89 years old and be a part of Youth with a Mission. Jen and George are going to be a part of Youth with a Mission because we believe that God is enabling us at any age to reach the nations. It's about our attitude. It's about our heart. And so if we're ready and be like, yes, Jesus, work through me, he's all about it. He's looking for the available, not the necessarily able. He qualifies the called. He doesn't call the qualified. I am not trained as an accountant. My sister is amazing, bless you. I am not trained in university as an accountant. Yet right now my job is to lead and pioneer an accounting ministry because God has asked me to. Therefore, I believe that God is going to give me the ability. I like YouTube. I read lots of tutorials. I do a lot of research. And I do my best and trust that God is going to cover me in that. And so coming back to my original point of fresh eyes, the lyrics in the song says, I've got fresh eyes. I've never seen you before like this. My God, you're beautiful. It's like the first time when we opened the door before we got used to usual. It might seem superficial or stereotypical, but you dress up and I'm like, oh man. Sorry, this is like I said, we're going to take this and give it to the Lord. So suddenly I'm in love with a stranger. I can't believe that he's mine. Now all of a sudden I see you with fresh eyes and suddenly I'm in love with a stranger. And now, appreciation, it comes and it goes, but I'll ride this wave with you. It's human nature to miss what's under your nose till you remind me I'm a fool. And so this idea that actually God is asking us to have fresh eyes, to meet him again and renew our hope in the Holy Spirit, to have fresh eyes towards the one who loves us, the one who wants to help us ride waves in life, right? Because like Jesus came to give life abundantly and it's just kind of going like this. But sometimes it feels like life abundantly. It's really intense. But he's here to ride waves with us and to give us fresh eyes. And so that would be my encouragement to you. I felt even just this morning to have a bit of a response, to hit a refresh button with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know, guys, he's here. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. He's available every moment of every day. And so even when we're like, okay, I need a word, what do I do? We just wait and listen to his still small voice. And I am a firm believer that when you ask your Father, he responds. And maybe it's not exactly the way you thought, but like over the last 6 years, I have had needed to learn how to hear the voice of God because he's speaking every day and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss 1 second because one day with him is better than 1,000 anywhere else, and I don't want to miss it. And so I encourage you, ask God for fresh eyes to see him like you've never seen him before. If you want, you can look up that song. It's really catchy and very cute. It's called Fresh Eyes. And that's just what I felt to encourage you guys, is to refresh with the Holy Spirit, to see him in a new way, in a fresh way, breaking off of religion. I love that about Jesus. The religious people, he's like, what is your problem? Why are you keeping people from me? Why are you putting all these rules and regulations to keep people from me? We do that to ourselves sometimes, where we're like, okay, I can only meet God like this. And we like make a box, and then we stay in the box, and we miss what God wants to do. And so from young to old, if you're 6, 7 years old to 67 years old, God, and further, I promise, every age, God wants to meet with you. You have the ability to hear the voice of God and to impact this world through your generosity, through patience, through selflessness, through humility, and admitting when you've done something wrong and asking for forgiveness. It is incredibly powerful. I needed to do that this morning already, like, I did something that was very self-centered, and I went back to the person, and I was like, I am so sorry. I missed that. I was being very self-centered. Would you forgive me? And they were like,
Yeah, it's okay. I was like, okay, but that's important to me, that I don't let anything stand in the way of my relationship with others and my relationship with God and admitting when I'm wrong. It gets easier. It's still hard, but it gets easier, you know, because you're like, oh yeah, I'm a human. I miss it. Would you forgive me? And people are often more gracious than you think. Not every time, but most of the time, people are like, yeah, no worries. Absolutely. Thank you for coming back. And you're like, yes, of course, because people are worth it. Knowing people and knowing God is worth it. And so for the young kids, I encourage you, please seek wisdom from people and be kind and be there with your friends. And for older people, same thing. Be there with your friends. Be committed. I think I just want to say this really quickly. Sometimes you don't know when you're investing in like Operation Christmas Child or Samaritan's Purse or Youth with a Mission or all these different things, if it really makes an impact. But I actually got to meet someone who received a box from Operation Christmas Child like 20 years ago or something, and that's how they met Jesus, and now they're a missionary today. That blew my mind. I was like, what? Because you hear about it, and you're like, that's cool. Hopefully they're doing something good. Good job, everybody. But to meet someone who said getting a box, a shoebox of toys, communicated worth to me, and it changed the way that I viewed the world. I was like weeping. I was like, that's beautiful. I had no idea. I had no idea. And so to encourage you that when you invest in the kingdom of God, it will never return void. And like it says in Galatians, when you sow in the Spirit, you will reap in the Spirit. And so in that same way, I want to just encourage you guys that Holy Spirit is for you. He is a part of the Trinity. He is a part of our daily life. And he has new hope, new energy, new perseverance, new perspective for you. Ask him what he's wanting to teach you in this season. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. What are you saying? I want it. I don't want to miss one thing. Jesus, Son of David, don't pass me by. And this desperation in our hearts to know God, whatever it would take. And so for someone who has been invested in countless times by this community, thank you so much for your time, for your talents, for teaching me how to lead worship, for teaching me how to speak in front of people or go out into my community. Thank you for taking me on a missions trip to Mexico years ago and was like, you can do this. It doesn't matter. If you're a teen, you can do it. And I was like, thank you. That has spoken so much to me. And to encourage you that nothing you do will ever go unnoticed, it is important. You are investing in the nations and your inheritance is there. My last encouragement is just Psalm 2. It says, ask. Psalm 2:8. If you ask me for the nations, I will give it to you. And I'll just say that this church has a DNA of worship, of prayer, of discipleship, and of interceding for the nations. And your inheritance is very rich. And so thank you. Please keep persevering. Please keep asking the Lord to refresh you and to renew your eyes, to give you fresh eyes. And so I don't know if we want to have just like some music or something, and I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to encounter us this morning. I just really felt like that's what the Lord is saying, is that he wants to meet with you, wants to speak, that he loves you. If you don't know that, he thinks you're amazing. You were created in the image of God, and it doesn't matter if right now you have everything together, because it doesn't change your innate value. You are valuable, and you are worth it, and you are amazing. And so I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit, and if he wants to speak anything, for us to quiet our mind, to lay aside our anxieties. And I don't know if we have a ministry team that comes up, that if people want prayer, but I would really love for us just to encounter the Holy Spirit this morning and to allow him to encourage us to keep going and to never lose hope. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you speak and we get to listen and obey. And then understanding comes. Thank you that it doesn't always make sense all the time, but that you never leave us or forsake us. Just invite you, Lord, to come and renew our hope. Come and give us new strength for perseverance, new strength to continue to represent you well on this earth. Thank you, Father, that you're not far off and distant, and that it's not some unobtainable thing to see your kingdom come. It's so simple, actually. It's in our daily life, in our choices every day. Bless you, God. You are remarkable, Father. And like we were singing this morning, Jesus, we love you. We love your ways, not just your teaching, but the way that you treat people, the way that you are persevering, the way that you're kind and committed, interceding on the right hand of the Father on our behalf. Thank you, God. Come and renew our eyes. Come and give us new perspective if we've been seeing you incorrectly. Come and convict our spirits. We're desperate for you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Risk with you is worth it every time. And so come, Holy Spirit, and give us opportunity to take a risk with you today, Jesus. And we quiet our hearts before you. We take authority in the name of Jesus over every scheme of the enemy, through anxiety, through lies, through fear. We break it off in the name of Jesus. You have no power here. And so, God, we say we invite you, Holy Spirit, with our minds free of distraction, free of anxiety, and free of any lies of the enemy. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come and speak your affection, your truth, even if you have a new thing for us this morning, your manna for today. Come and speak, Holy Spirit.